Then if you will close your eyes, we will run to the boss. Amen? Say, Father, I need ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to perceive what your Spirit is speaking to me. Amen? I want to remind you that in Romans chapter 8, that's where we're going to hit a little bit. Romans chapter 8, that we're going to be looking at who we are serving and why. And if you start at verse 1, you'll see there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So the whole purpose of Christmas is to supply the Father with a quality son to cancel the high treason from Adam. You say, well, that's kind of a sneaky thing, isn't it? Yeah, because you know what? The enemy didn't catch on, did he? It was hidden from him. Even though he had been trying to destroy all of God's creation from the beginning. He is a deceiver. He is an accuser. And you can see it in Genesis. And you can see it throughout the Old Covenant, where he's constantly accusing. And no one really stands up to him because they don't have the ability. It took a perfect man. And that's why Jesus was the chosen vessel. He is the perfect man. He is the one without a flaw that paid for you and me. That's what that word said. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Is that what your Bible says? So the sin offering is him. It's not a ritual. It's not us opening up a piece of bread, even though all these things he told us to do. The reality is that he needed to erase what Adam had done to the Father's creation. When that truth starts really, I don't know, how else do I say this? How many like homemade stew? Thank you. If you make homemade stew and you cook it for about 3 hours, it has kind of a neat taste. But if you leave it overnight in a slow cooker,
amen.
Then you wake up in the morning and you have nose trouble.
Amen.
Anybody know what kind of nose trouble you got? What kind of nose trouble have you got when you get up? You can find the kitchen. If you were as blind as a bat, you wouldn't have a problem because your nose would know. The minute you tasted it, you'd know that it's been simmering for a long time. I know I'm making you hungry, Bob. The carrots intermingle with the celery intermingles with the onions, and the onions mix in with the meat, and the meat mixes in with the potatoes, and boy, oh boy, is that what? And you expect that God is going to turn you into something special overnight. He's been at it for thousands of years, transforming us into his likeness. And, you know, I said to the Lord this morning, you want me to talk about sonship? He said, yes. Because that was the whole reason why he sent his son, was to develop his people into a relationship with the Father who loved them. They were so scared of God the Father that they ran the other way and said, Moses, you talk to him. Did you ever check Exodus? Moses, I don't want to hear from God. He's too scary. That was Kim. A few weeks back, I was pressed to purchase some silly Christmas cards. And I wanted to put them back on the shelf because they said handmade, and I can't see wasting that kind of money. And the Lord said, no. That Christmas card represents your old way of thinking. And I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, do you remember living on that little farm? And I said, yes, I do. Do you remember playing in the brook? Yes, I do. Do you remember the little red sled? Yes, I do. I don't ever remember, however, a Christmas tree in the sled, so that's the only part of the picture that didn't represent me. But the typical rolling hills, the background of all those fir trees in the back, it was exactly where I lived. You can't see the barn, that's okay. It's no longer there. But it was there when I was a boy. And the Lord said, what did you think of fathers at that time? And I thought, oh my God, they were a pain in the neck. Fathers were not somebody that you could trust. Do you know why? Because my earthly father had an overload of kids. Oh, come on, you got to be kidding me. Pinch your neighbor. Say, wake up. Fathers are people. And they get sick of kids. Just like mothers do. When they're overloaded. And they're exploding. They have a problem. And we've got to take that into the equation. Fathers can have an overload. Mothers can too. Now that should take care of part of the problem. But you see, when I was 8 and a half, we left that farm. Okay, we left there, and it was a crash for me because that's when my dad, the one who brought me up, started to erase some of his pain because they had to go bankrupt. And we had to have an auction in the front of the house in late summer. And all my stuff was sold at auction because of the bankruptcy. And there's a lot involved, but I did get mad at my second father because he was drowning his sorrows in a bottle of booze whenever he had a chance on weekends. As far as I was concerned, men weren't that great. They didn't qualify for respect. And the Lord said to me, the reason I want you to give that out is because you were that boy that was broken and rejected. But you're no longer that man. That was then. Today is a new reality. I know my Heavenly Father loves me. But it took me a long time to get his opinion into my heart. Amen. Why? Because we're stubborn. We think that our living experience in the earth is more powerful than the ever-living Father who Jesus came to reveal to us that he was a loving dad. I didn't have a loving dad. Not when he was drunk. I didn't have a loving dad when he said, get rid of him. Gee, it's quiet in here. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, Holy Spirit, this is a word for today. I need to have a new outlook. About broken fathers and broken mothers. I need to see that Jesus didn't come in vain. He came to reveal an incredible loving Father. So much love in my Heavenly Father that my mind boggles. All right. See, if I get you to see a glimpse of a loving Father today, then I know that Christmas has not been wasted. The purpose of a loving Father releasing a seed into Mary to give a body for a little child that would walk through the earth for 33 and a half years in full obedience to the Father. That's what he got out of Jesus. And Jesus' purpose to reveal us that a father was on the job. A quality father. One that would not give up on us. Not one that would give us as a, you know, an excuse for whatever emotions that they had. Watch now. Let's go back to verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who did not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. My press, when I was at Grace, was to learn everything I could from a man who flowed in the Spirit rather than in his brain. That was Gino's commission. Grow up those that want to be mature in spirit and not listen to the reasonings of the mind. I remember studying for 3 years the keys to the kingdom. I studied them until I had notes like this so that I could get a glimpse of the spiritual man and the man that God had given me to be a spiritual father to me. Was he always perfect? No. Was he aiming towards the highest goal? Yes. Was he looking to develop me? Yes. And if I didn't behave according to the righteousness of Christ, he would be there to remind me in love, Kim, you got to change it. You got to get God's opinion on this instead of your own. You got to see the love of God in this. Whatever the circumstances, what? Look for the love that is going to permeate out of this. And what is going to change out of this as you are a chosen son? And that's what he kept repeating to me. You are a chosen son. So in order for the fully manifesting spirit to operate through me, I had to get rid of my brain and thinking. Verse 5, those who live according to their sinful nature have their mind set on that nature's desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So, whenever you see that there's a quandary in front of you, you have to say, okay, Holy Spirit, what's your opinion on this mess? What are you trying to get a hold of me for? Why did you give me a dream this morning about a person that's in my past? Why did you get me so nosy I had to look under the door and then get seen? He was exposing how nosy I am.
Amen.
I got relatives here. How many have problems with nosiness? Put your hand up if you have a little problem with it. You know why? Because when we admit our faults to each other, God will heal us. So again, that sinful nature, it has desires. That's my flesh, my mind, my will, my emotions. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Verse 6, the mind of the sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And the sinful mind is hostile to God. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It doesn't want to do what God wants. It does not submit to God's law. I love it. Nor can it do so. So if you're trying to convert your mind, you're working against yourself. What you need to do is develop your spirit. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So there you go. That's pretty truthful, isn't it? You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. I remember one incident that at that time, the world would say to me, where you are is kind of stupid. You're working for a church that has no respect in the community. I can remember we had a major issue about a person who was Roman Catholic background, and they passed away, and their family wanted the body to be put into the plot that was owned by that family in a Catholic cemetery, and we ended up with major war with the bishop. And Gino came down and he says, Kim, we need to pray because I need to stand for that family and be defending that is their plot of land and we need to be able to be allowed. But the law was in our way. So he went to the bishop. And he ended up having a conference with one of the auxiliary bishops right downtown Springfield. And I am about to tell you that this is an absolute truth. He came back towards Grace Church and he called me and he says, we have a miracle. And I said, what's that? He said, well, this a bishop, I prophesied that he was going to be wearing a bishop's hat. So he went there thinking that he was going to stand up for a cemetery condition, and he ended up prophesying to the next bishop, which, by the way, became that next bishop in the city of Springfield. And don't try to figure it out because it's not trying to identify people. It's just that was Gino. He was able to flow above the irritation and prophesy to this man of God that he would be the next bishop of Springfield, and he did become the next bishop of Springfield. But we also had full access so that the family got what they were required by law to have, which was the plot of land they had paid for. Why am I telling you that? Because I remember the next day, we're sitting in his office and he says, Kim, do you see the mind of Christ? Well, my religious background did not have any connection to the mind of Christ. He says, study Romans 8. The mind of Christ is not to think like your brain says. The mind of Christ is the mind of the anointed one. Who's the anointed one in your life? Jesus. Yeah, it's Jesus that's the anointed one. And so if you go by reasoning all the time, you're going to head towards death. But if you go by the Holy Ghost and you say, Holy Ghost, I want your mind on this. You got an arm on your chair? Close your eyes right now. Say, Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Come on, put your foot, your front paw there. Come on. Holy Ghost, I want your mind.
Holy Ghost, I want your mind.
On all these areas. That are plaguing me. Giving me a hard time.
I want your mind.
Not mine.
Because
it could head for death. What am I doing? I'm trying to get you to see that your natural mind is a good thing for natural reasons. But as far as your eternal purpose, it ain't worth a nickel. Basically, until it's converted. Okay? Until it thinks like Jesus.
I can remember.
J-D. What would Jesus do? That's a great thing, but it's still mental. It's still using reason and the word as a tool. What is better than WWJD?
The mind of Christ.
The mind of Christ, because then you know, oh my God, I need to call for prayer this morning. I've got problems in my legs. And I know I'm going to disturb the church, but I need prayer. That's the mind of Christ. So I'll bother them. I'll bug them this morning. I'll call and I'll humble myself and get help. What am I doing to you today? I'm trying to tell you 2015 is going to be the mind of Christ and not the mind of man. Verse 9 again, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. If you started to quote those verses out loud every single day, what would happen in a short amount of time?
It would be in your heart, you'd get it.
You'd get it. Some of these scriptures need to be operating through your mouth. They will start by confessing what God says about you rather than your opinion. In my experience, I went to Staples and I bought some of those little Post-its or Walmart. And I put them in the rearview mirror of my car, in the bathroom mirror, and on the refrigerator, because I know every family visits the fridge.
Amen.
Okay? Close your eyes now. Say, Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
I want your mind.
I want your mind.
And I'm going to get it.
I'm
going to receive it by faith.
No matter what it costs.
And I need your grace.
To
get me there. Because I know you love me. I'm absolutely convinced you love me. And my Heavenly Father loves me. More than my earthly dad. And if I had more than one, so be it. I have a Holy Spirit Father. He sent his Spirit into me. And he adopted me in this incredible family. And I'm rejoicing
for the 2015
that is awaiting for me. Hallelujah. Let there be blessings in me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.